remember, like, going into the 90s, like, there's some movies that I would recommend you leave in the past, the movies with cops. So yeah. You had one cop who was playing by the rules, ready for retirement, the other one who was rogue, took the badge.
Maverick, he's a maverick. He don't play by the rules. He's dangerous.
He hangs on to 18-wheelers going, you know, 90 miles per hour by the side and takes a fleet of army down, a whole fleet. Just talking about it, I get blurry. That's how bad it gets. No, there's no rules. Once you take the badge off, anything goes. You know it's full-on, too, when the good cop, who played by the rules his whole career, he goes,
all right, I'm taking my badge off, too, for this one time.
And, you know, you think about those films we grew up on. It's the cop movies, lawyer TV shows, the hospital shows. You would think that the only jobs in America are cops, lawyers, and some gig at the hospital. All the lonely people, all the lonely people. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of World at War, the number one late night show here at Real Deal Media's Finest. I'm your late night host, Dean Ryan, and I'm back in almost black and white, that is, black and white. It is so good to be here tonight, as tonight's episode is called The Migrant Offensive. The Migrant Offensive. What a tone and reach it has to it. Tonight, we're going to be getting into just that, the migrant offensive, as the violence accelerates across the United States, across Europe, by so-called peaceful migrants, but we know them as military-age men. So we'll be talking about that and just how bad it is exactly in New York, the capital of the country. The new Rome, as John Lennon declared it many, many years ago. We'll be talking just about that and all the hardships that are taking place underway in New York. Then we're going to be getting into the appeals court with the Trump factor, but also we're going to be getting into just how serious a candidate is, the Manchurian candidate, that we all knew was coming around the corner, and that's Michelle Obama. We're going to be getting into just how serious is the lurking toxic Avenger, who's waiting around the corner, who's waiting to just enter the race. Yeah. How serious is this? Is this just a fantasy or nightmare rather that nobody wanted? We'll be talking about that with Jim Fetzer, who's running a little late tonight. So tonight might be a extraordinary late night show like we used to do back in the day. So we'll be talking about that. Plus some of the 12 states I'm going to name for you tonight that are participating, accelerating, cheerleading, authorizing, and totally under just handedly allowing the foodemic to take place in the United States. And we're going to be talking about 12 of those states that my dear friend Mike Adams has warned me about and wants this effective audience to know about. Maybe you're in one of those states. These are good things to know. Also, we're going to be getting into the international news of the Sausage King of London. Yes, that's right. The so-called King Carlos, King Charles, as we told you first, before anybody did, that he will be missing, and they're going to call it cancer. When the truth of the matter is, he's probably dead. In fact, I'm willing to put money, he's dead. So we'll be talking about just the spin in the modus operandi that the so-called media over there in England, who are just so decrepit, how they're spinning their king, their so-called king, or as we know, the German tourist who just won't go home, just exactly where he is. Yes, can what a hot link that's going to be. So we'll talk about that. Plus, Netanyahu opens his little pipe. And he tries to get us to smoke his propaganda, and we'll be talking about just what his ideal situation is for the so-called two-state solution. Yeah, we'll be talking about that little war criminal who's just won't go away. And plus, something I would love to share regarding someone who's speaking out against it, a man who I almost did two films with. We're going to be talking about Oliver Stone and his little take and spin on that, plus some new policies coming down the pikeway regarding your health insurance. What they're now saying, look, we won't cover. You're going to be a little baffled by that. Plus some woe man news in volleyball, some showbiz, real deal showbiz news, and a wonderful story to end on with Real Deal Pets, a segment we haven't done in quite some time. That, it's just, we love our dogs, we love our cats, but they're not with us for a long time. That might be changing. So you don't want to miss that. Plus some inquiries and I guess a little extended show here tonight as we wait for the great Jim Fetzer to be joining us around the corner. Anyways, tonight we are broadcasting live on The Real Dean Ryan over there on Facebook, as well as Dean Ryan TV on YouTube, and over there at The Real Dean Ryan on Twitter, and last but not least, Rumble. So, and a big round of applause to all of our, I don't say it enough, all of our mons out there, our admins. It's a tough job, but, we couldn't do it without you. So I want to give you big credit. Anyways, let's get to some headlines from around the world. And that's right, in your neck of the woods. Don't you just love the sounds of that? It just makes me feel like I'm at the Real Deal Headline cocktail bar, doesn't it? Anyways, as you probably heard it, the violence is escalating, accelerating, and capitulating. Can I say that? I believe I just did. Yes, in New York City, there is not a easy head of rest that is going to be coming upon any of the NYPD blue over there, as the migrants and the influx of them have been just really peaking through the Richter scale as of late. So much so, even the so-called bastion of everything liberal mayor of New York City, he can't take the heat anymore. And he's like, let me out of this kitchen now. Well, now the sophisticated so-called gang of illegals arrested for robbing dozens of victims in New York City crime spree is on the rise. Yes, it is. And let me tell you a bit more about it, as migrants are now robbing so-called, just dozens, these so-called migrants over there. Well, check this out here. Well, more than that now, we can now report more than 60 people were robbed by a gang of illegal aliens during a crime spree across New York City in recent months. According to many, many reports who are familiar with the robbings, well, on Monday, NYPD officers just recently arrested at least five out of the thousands at a quote-unquote safe house in the Bronx. This is big news. Now, authorities believe that the suspects who are believed to be illegal aliens, not the ones from Peru, but from Venezuela, have been operating a so-called sophisticated criminal network headed by a Venezuelan man named Victor Parra, to be exact. Well, now, these so-called thugs are taking orders from Mr. Victor, targeted at least 62 victims, nearly all of whom were women, stealing purses, cell phones, and other valuables, investigators say. Now, the suspects often rode up to the victims. You might see them in little mopeds, pretending to be little mods there, in order to carry out these so-called robberies and then quickly flee for their lives, causing some women to suffer serious injuries while trying to defend themselves and their property, surveillance footage shows. Now, this is what happened to the gun-free zones that these guys didn't get, that they're going up to people, just robbing them, pistol whipping them. What about the gun-free zones? Do these Venezuelans, so-called aliens, what don't they get? I mean, we practice it. How come they don't? This is not fair. This is not fair. Now, detectives believe the suspects were snatching all kinds of things from the new Apple Pay feature. And, you know, don't they call the cops? Aren't they there within just seconds and just spawn from the ground? Now, many of the stolen phones, this is a little tidbit here, were wiped clean and then sent to, this is kind of weird, Colombia. Yes, presumably to be resold over there in Colombia. That's right. You get a free phone with a free 8-ball, depending who you ask, over there in Colombia. Now, authorities are now looking into whether any illegal aliens arrested for attacking the NYPD officers near Times Square last week are connected to any criminal network. More on this to come here in the next segment. But speaking of that, well, yes, if you haven't guessed it, they're telling us the obvious. They, as in the authorities, the people who wear black, that a total societal breakdown is now underway. Well, tell us something that we don't know. Well, now NYPD chief laments a total breakdown of justice after illegals assault police officers in random and tantrum, to be exact, then get released from jail without bail. They just release them and, you know, close their eyes and pretend that they don't exist. That's true. Now, the civil society is rapidly deteriorating, in case you haven't noticed, especially in NYC in New York City, which is experiencing a, quote, total breakdown. Yes, it is, of civility in criminal justice due to the city's open borders supporting policies. See, the latte liberals over there in New York, they've never had to deal with this. Now they are having to, for the first time in my life. Well, the illegal alien, the migrants, reportedly flooding the Big Apple by the thousands as Texas continues to send them up there from the southern border for sanctuary. And the joke's on them, but it's kind of on all of us too. Well, all the while, the New York City Police Department, the NYPD, is allowing migrants to commit crimes now without punishment, which is putting officers and civilians at major, major risk. Now, here's a little quote here from the NYPD Chief Patrol, Mr. John Chelly. He's telling us the truth. Well, here it is, quote, well, the consequences, that's the issue in the city right now. We don't know what to do, but we reached a boiling point. Yeah, this is pretty wild. And now the criminal aliens, as they continue to flip off America, especially the ones from Venezuela, and apparently, are strolling out of the courtroom, and some say skipping, while others say waltzing out of the courtroom with no punishment. Yes, not even a traffic ticket with their free driver's license that people in places like California are giving everybody, because anything otherwise is completely racist. Now, the judge had an opportunity to step in and use their power in some of these cases, but then they say, quote, no, I'm not going to reprimand any of them because we want to give everybody a fair shot and chance. Oh, is that true? Well, here's a little footage I found that you might find interesting of just exactly how serious it is now in New York. And some of the NYPD are stepping up their game because their families are at risk too, not just you and I. Check this out.
Actually, it's about 62 cases right now, 7 borrows, grand larceny snatches and robberies, with phones taken, putting out essentially a hit for people to go do his dirty work to grab phones and stuff. So he's the big target. He's caused a lot of problems in New York City, and hopefully we'll grab him when we get some headway on this.
First of all, thanks a lot, guys. Listen, we saw what happened on the video, and there are 172,000 migrants, asylum seekers who are here. Overwhelmingly, many are here just want the same thing all of our families want. For those who think they're going to come to our country, break our laws, assault our cops, that was not only assault on an individual, that was assault on our system of public safety. That they're going to use organized methods to commit crimes, it just can't happen, and it won't happen. Not in New York City, I'm the mayor of the city, or while you're in this police department. This is not about the migrants and asylum seekers, it's about those who break the law. It doesn't matter where you're from and where you came from, you break the law, you're going to feel the full weight of this problem. So let's go get these guys.
All right, we're here in a location in the Bronx. The gun violence team, along with the grand larceny team, just conducted a search warrant here. Migrants preying on vulnerable New Yorkers in New York City. Pattern 156, over 60 victims. Committing crimes as robberies, grand larcenies, purse snatches. Guess what? This department, this agency is not going to tolerate that. We will find you. Anyone that commits any act of harm against one of our New Yorkers, we're going to find you, we're going to arrest you, we're going to bring you to justice.
So there it is. Here's further footage of what we're talking about here, just how bad it is in New York, in case you needed even more evidence of just how bad it's getting. Well, if you're a cop, you say, break it up, get out of here. Please, you're getting away my donut time. And then this happens. So this is very, very infamous footage. We're probably accustomed to seeing by now. A lot of people have seen this particular footage. They kicked in the head of one of the cops. And there's no recourse. There's no punishment. There's just a lot of platitude for the so-called latte liberals. This is just disgusting. Yeah, and you can only imagine what they're doing to just little old ladies from the Bronx. Can you imagine? Just bust my hump, doesn't it? Bust my hump. Anyways, let's continue here as we now talk about some of the states that are not just allowing these things to progress and happen, but let's talk about the food demic too, as now I'm going to give you some clue about what states are now perpetuating all this. Is states food demics is now on the rise. Food demicas. Yes, I like to do Spanish and Latin all in once. Well, check this out here now. Yes, 12 states sound the alarm, and globalist banks are conspiring with the United Nations to wipe out the U.S. farms and food production. Wow. The CIA chief says no longer dominant power is the U.S. So here it is. This is coming out of Natural News. Now, in a surprising turn of events, the CIA chief, William Burns, published an op-ed just recently in the Foreign Affairs magazine that aligns with, actually, I got to give him credit, Mike Adams' statements himself just yesterday that he made about the world no longer being afraid of the United States Empire. Unless you live in it. I mean, that's just, food for thought there. But anyways, the Burns the states that the United States no longer enjoys the uncontested primacy, making it clear that the country is no longer the dominant power in the world, not just militarily, but economically, but also in the naval power. Now, something here, just to add to that, here are some of the states that we have now based, at least Mike has, that are coming down the pikeway. They're going to be stopping, accelerating the food demic. Some of those are California, as we know. And if you haven't read this article, I suggest you do so at this time. But California is no secret and no fan of you having food. No, they're not. In fact, in 2020, they were just telling everybody to take all the potatoes, put them in a field, and burn them. Burn them. So you can guess the usual suspects. California, New York, to name a few. Oregon, you bet. Yes, you bet. And just the Northeast, we don't have to go through all of them, but just to name a few, many, many of these states, a dozen of them, are now commissioners. They have their commissioners who have penned a letter to six U.S. megabanks, informing them that pushing and investigating may lead to food price increases impact food availability. So meaning if they're pressed about any of the culling of your food supply or what they see as emissions, you know, the cow fertilization causing global warming, if pressed, then they're going to increase the price and they just can't help it. Now, they criticize the bank's membership. Many of these people who were in the United Nations organized group called the Net Zero Banking Alliance, which aims to finance the ambitious climate action. See, it's all tied to climate action, isn't it? Potentially harming the American farming and ranching operations by promoting an agenda that prioritizes wind turbines, just all around turbines altogether, solar panels, and overall the energy sources that fuel the so-called diesel fuel. As these issues continue to unfold, it's clear that the United States and other countries around the world are facing unprecedented challenges in terms of food security, economic stability, the political power dynamics, and so much more. It's crucial for individuals to stay informed and get proactive in securing their own well-being because no one else is going to do it for you. So just a wonderful article right there on the face of naturalnews.com. Yes, it is. So if you haven't seen it, check it out at this time. Continuing here. Well, now that brings us to this, as now the United States is now running out of armaments. Yeah, just when you thought it was safe to just start shooting your gun in the air just for no reason, like you just don't care, just to celebrate in some cases. Now we're understanding that the U.S. is to run out of armaments in 2 weeks if it embarks on the multifaceted war with Iran, Russia, Yemen, and possibly the Republic of Texas. Put them into the fold as well. A former Navy SEAL warns. This is a big deal here. This is a big deal. Now we understand, and which I figured out long ago, all this push for Ukraine, all the push for Ukraine to put all the armaments, all the weapons of war, to push it to Ukraine, that we see because they want to arm the United Nations, NATO, and here's the big secret, the secret army of the European Union, which is going to come back here home to roost when we get out of line, like Texas is. You see how this works? Continuing here. Now, in recent events over there in Texas, as we're all well aware of, where the state governor, Greg Abbott, well, stands firm in dodging the United States Supreme Court ruling of authorizing Border Patrol agents to tear down the razor fences. That's right, over there at Razor Gate, Razor Fence Gate, then, is that the Texas National Guard has installed. Now, a former Navy SEAL and renowned author, Mr. Matt Bracken, warned of a possible secession of the state from the Union and return to being its very own Republic of Texas, which they can very well do. They have their own oil reserves and just everything you could possibly imagine. Now, on top of the migrant crisis, the President Joe Biden's regime likes to think that the country is the most powerful force on earth. Yes, yes, he does. And even though he's dead and fake and wears a mask, as he gears up toward a multi-front war with various countries such as Iran, Russia, Yemen, and many other places. So here's a little quote here, just to give you in, put you in the psyche of Joe Biden here. It says the following here, that Joe Biden is still living. This is someone who's close to the source. God, I haven't heard one of those people in ages. Joe Biden is still living in the 1980s, or maybe he's just living in a total fantasy, but he still thinks that the American military and the U.S. sanctions are the most powerful forces in the world. Really? Well, in a recent press secretary interview with the Treasury secretary, that is, Janet Yellen, one of the worst. Well, Janet Yellen thinks we can fund unlimited wars by printing money. Even though we can't manufacture munitions, we're going to have a war with Russia, Iran, China, and Texas. But would we not have the capacity to do so? And the answer is absolutely no. So this is what they're gearing up to do. Complete societal downturn. They're preparing for a multifaceted war on many, many fronts. I also believe they're also preparing for a multifaceted war here in the homeland, with many, many different states blocking each other's off, stopping people from migrating at the border who are citizens that want to just leave California. We saw this coming down the pikeway many, many years ago. Well, it's coming to fruition, sadly. But that's where we are. That's where we are. So very interesting. Yes, we don't have many munitions. We don't have many. And if you recall, when the gun manufacturing companies were also federalized towards the end of 2020, now it came out that the FBI was monitoring who was purchasing munitions, firearms all across the board for a greater purpose to serve its purpose later in the future. And guess where we are right now? See, it's really tough, which brings us to death squads. And what a lovely transition it is to death squads. And how do you make such a segue? Well, a lot of people have asked. It's an art form. But let me tell you a bit more about it. Yes, U.S. State Department is now having just crow on their face, which is dead crow, because now the United States Department is now supporting so-called death squads, war crimes, and soldiers dressed as medics who are executing patients in hospitals. Wow, I've heard a lot of dastardly things in my life, but this is right up there. Well, now the U.S. United States Department of, the State Department then is supporting these so-called death squads. Well, Mr. Max Blumenthal, the editor-in-chief of The Gray Zone, who, by the way, does incredible work, remarked on Twitter recently that the State Department backs, quote, apartheid death squads, which disguise themselves as doctors, nurses, to execute comatose teens at point-blank range, so long as they can operate within the laws of war. Well, Blumenthal made these recent comments to a post by Dr. Saul Rad, reference made by the State Department spokesman Matthew Miller. Now, the spokesperson reportedly said now, just recently, during a January 30th press briefing, that, quote, Israel has the right to carry out anti-terrorism operations to bring members of Hamas to justice. And I tried to tell people that what's being done in Gaza is going to come home to roost. So careful how, high you're holding your pom-poms, because it always comes back home, just like all the atrocities, all the tactics of war used in Baghdad by the United States military. It came back home here to use against us, i.e. the protest, the takeover of Wall Street. Yes, 2011 to be exact. So let me continue here. Now, The Guardian reported January 30th that Israeli soldiers dressed as doctors, wearing scrubs and women's clothes, killed three Palestinian militants in a hospital in the West Bank of Jenin. Now, the attackers were from a border police counterterrorism unit in that Israel security agency, Shin Bet. Yeah, I think we've seen the footage, but it's just a little preview of what they want to bring here, i.e. Texas. What they want to do to Texas if they get out of line. This is just a big, big old fruition and a preview of what's to come here at home. So in closing, lots of Israeli attacks on struggling hospitals over there in the Gaza Strip have been denounced as breach of international humanitarian law. However, Israel said Hamas uses the medical facilities to cover up the initiate operations, makes them legitimate targets. Of course they're going to say that. Of course they're going to say that. And, there's a lot of people that just buy into it or believe it and no questions asked. But that's changing, you see. That's changing as the day is changing into calling this what it is. The neocons gone rogue, Netanyahu trying to stay out of political trouble, which we'll revisit in the Real Deal International. Continuing here, as we now glide our way to, yes, Oregon, Portland, to be exact. Well, this is very troubling and troublesome, to be exact, as fentanyl that is really stemming from China. They ship it to Venezuela, as we showed you on many maps in previous years. Well, now there seems to be even a bigger problem, as now Portland declares fentanyl state of emergency as overdose deaths begin to skyrocket. Yeah, and if they don't skyrocket, you're going to have someone who's pretending to be a nurse, and that's probably going to be the last physician you'll ever see. Yes, when they tell you to bend over and cough, well, that means get ready for execution. Well, just 3 years after decriminalizing the possession of all drugs, Portland has now declared 90-day state of emergency over its fentanyl crisis. Yeah, this is very dangerous. It's the drug where you see people who are just lumped over at the bus stop. You think they're sleeping or they're at a casino. You think they're just having a little snooze or meditating. Well, it's quite the opposite now. Well, following the recommendations from the Portland Central City Task Force. Yeah, Portland, a very pristine city to just go hang out in. Officials from the city now have declared a, quote, tri-governmental emergency, citing deaths and overdoses as reasons for the declaration. Now, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, Oregon Governor Tina Kotek, and Multnomah County Chair Jessica Vega Penderson, well, they've made this declaration because, you know, they know things, they see things, and, yeah, they're sick of things, we assume. Well, the governor, Tina Kotek, said, here's a quote, that our country and our state have never seen a drug this deadly, addictive, and all are grappling with how to respond. We never saw this coming. No. I mean, we led all the Chinese into just Portland and everything in Oregon. We burned up all the people who lived in the countryside. And when they try to get out, we used Antifa to burn them alive because that's what Governor Tina Kotek does. I should really be hung by a Kotex, but that's just me. Well, the emergency order will enable the city, county, and the state to allocate more resources for responding to the crisis, which, by the way, if you don't smell that right now, that's the smell of money laundering. Establish a command center, which will be headed up by Director of Portland's Community Safety Division. Don't you love the big titles? Doesn't it just make you feel safe in the realm of security theater? I mean, the Community Safety Division, we need a huge title to feel safe. Then we need the TSA to put their hands in our pants. Well, the individuals who are addicted to fentanyl, continuing here, as who interact with first responders in the cities during the next 90 days will be triaged by the command center. Well, what does that mean? How do you get triaged? How do you get triaged? I'm afraid to ask. Well, officials will also launch the public health now campaigns to improve the outreach to help people with treatment and recovery. I mean, this is the most caring city government I've ever just witnessed that has no intentions of helping anybody. You gotta love Oregon. So how did Portland get like this? Many have asked. Well, in 2020, just to give you a trip down memory lane, in 2020, voters over there in Oregon passed something called Measure 110. This decriminalized the use of some hard drugs, including fentanyl. However, opioid overdose deaths have been on the rise as of late. Yes, they have. Since then, the measure has come under fire. Now, in 2019, the state had a whopping 280 opioid overdose deaths. Now, the number climbed to 956, if you're counting, just 2 years ago. Oregon is grappling the biggest increase in fatal overdoses of that synthetic drug from China. Fentanyl in the nation ranks third in overall overdose deaths, according to the Central of Deception Control. And those people don't lie. A proposal to roll back some of these parts of the Measure 110 has now attracted bipartisan support over there in Oregon legislature. The new measure will see some hard drugs being recriminalized and require people who are arrested for possession to undergo counseling for addiction. So you see how that is. Just to show you the irony of it all, is there are these task forces that are going around triaging people, which we're not quite sure what that entails or looks like. Then they give people court appointed dates to go there and see the magistrate. Then they require to go get counseling. Now, the irony is when it comes to migrants, you don't even get a fraction of that. You get a pat on the back, a free little money card, a driver's license, and probably a Joe Biden t-shirt if we're going to get down to it. And that's the kind of upside down world of a triage we're living under, just to give you a little hint of fentanyl. So that's how that one is here. Okay. We have Jim Fetzer, who is going to be running just a tad late here tonight, but he'll be here soon. We're going to get into some other things here as Real Deal Politics is coming, but we have a quick break here, and we're going to try to plug him in here. But when we get back, we're getting into the Carrie Lake debacle. Yes, because I love soap operas, and I think I've seen every Melrose Place episode, and that should tell you something that I know what I'm talking about. So we're going to get into the Carrie Lake spiral into where, we'll find out, plus the other soap opera of Trump and the appeals court now denying all access of liberty, freedom, or sound mind. We'll get into that, plus the big Michelle Obama comeback, but don't call it that yet, or is it? So all that and a whole lot more right here at World at War, the number one late night show in the world with yours truly. We'll be back after this quick message. Don't you go. Well, Kim Jong-un is now crying in front of thousands of women. Thousands of women. Usually it's the other way around, but this time it's a little different as he now calls on all the North Korean women to halt the country's falling birth rate. Well, here's a quote. Preventing a decline in birth rate and good child care are all of our housekeeping duties. We need to handle while working with mothers, the emotional Kim Jong-un said. You know, I'm just getting a little emotional myself reading this. You know, he goes out of his way to do this. At least we could join him. Let me just recover here. Hopefully everyone made it through that.
To ensure Joe's leadership continues to guide us forward. We know the other side won't rest.
So we can't either.
Your donation will help give Joe and Kamala's campaign the resources it needs.
Let's make history again. Chip in now. Let's secure a brighter future together.
Hey, let's make history again. Hey, guys. I'm really Joe Biden. You don't think otherwise, do you? Hey, kids. Hey, kids, I smell kids. Is that what I smell? Welcome back, everybody, to World at War. Yes, the Migrant Offensive, and tonight's show is brought to you by you, the members. Yes, indeed, the Real Deal members. And to become a member, and I think tonight we'll be doing an after-hours backstage little ordeal with all of our Real Deal members. And to do so, what you do is join tonight. Why wait till tomorrow? I mean, don't stop thinking about tomorrow, but In doing so, become a member. All you got to do is go to realdealmedia.tv/membership. And then you can be joining us for all the exclusive extra content that you can't get anywhere else. This weekend, we have something special. We have a big, big Saturday night blowout birthday party, dare I say. So you don't want to miss that. Also, next week, for Valentine's Day, we have a one-night-only little Real Deal Piano Lounge for all of the lovers around the world. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. But anyways, join the Visionaries with Debonair, realdealmedia.tv/membership. In case you didn't see it too, yes, love is in the air, as you heard, and isn't it? Yes, Valentine's Day collection is ready to go. All you got to do is go to realdealmedia.tv/store. Make sure to use promo code LOVE24 for a whopping 24% off. Don't let Cupid shoot you in the behind. And if you do get shot, well, we have the new Pure Blood jewelry. Yes, yes, you can get that there. Also, this just in, we have the new wonderful Real Deal Media record. Spin me round like a record, baby, baby, to quote the song. You get the wonderful glossy mug. And for all of our Canadian viewers, too, we know it's really cold. It's getting colder. Get the Real Deal Media Canadian hoodie with that wonderful, beautiful flag of the maple leaf, because Canada is the home of maple syrup, isn't it? And ginger ale. That's what I'm hearing. The greatest, I think the greatest export of Canada is the ginger ale. I've been drinking it since I was like 5 years old. I love it. Anyways, so get that tonight. All right, we're going to continue now. We're going to continue as we wait for the man himself to get here, who's running a little bit late. But anyways, here is something now that is going to bring, well, we'll wait for it here as we now continue with Real Deal Politics. And we might open up the lines a little early tonight, because that's the kind of almost Monday, it feels like. Anyways, getting back to it, Real Deal Politics here. Well, here's some soap operas that we all love. It never seems to go away, as now we hear that the courts are punishing Donald Trump once again. Never ends. Did you ever think that maybe Donald Trump is the Heather Locklear of politics? I've always felt that way. I never knew how to tell people, but now I am. Continuing here, well, yes, appeals court now denies Trump. Yes, they do, because that's what courts do. They deny anybody that is not part of their team. Well, here it is. Appeals court denies Trump immunity in a 2020 criminal election case. Well, this sounds serious. I better take it seriously. Well, a federal court now is appealing just that over there in the District of Criminals that ruled that Donald Trump does not, I repeat, does not have immunity from prosecution in his election case as a result of having been president at the time of the alleged crimes. Well, I mean, this opens the floodgates, believe me. I mean, we need to start prosecuting Richard Nixon immediately. Continuing, now Trump is expected to ask the Supreme Court to overturn the appeals for the court ruling. Now, the case is related to Trump's attempt to reverse the so-called 2020 election loss to President Joe Biden. Oh my God, this is just unbelievable. So they really want to go after anyone that is questioning whatever took place over there in 2020. They're saying, now here's just a quote from Jack Smith, who doesn't know Jack, you know what. Well, he says, it violates the Constitution and threatens the bedrock of our republic. That's coming from the right people, but a lot of people will disagree to that. Many of them are on the so-called Supreme Court, and they're really still trying to push the day after January 5th hoax. Well, here's a little video of it that I compiled that maybe will put things in perspective and change our minds on just what is reality at this point. Here it is. Trump loses the Court of Appeals, and they're going to tell us why it's a good thing. Mainstream.
An appeals court here in Washington, D.C. has denied former President Trump's sweeping immunity claims as part of the ongoing wrangling surrounding his federal case regarding election interference in 2020. What we're reading now from the court here in D.C. is, today we affirm the denial. For the purpose of this criminal case, former President Trump has become Citizen Trump with all the defenses of any other criminal defendant, but any executive immunity that may have protected him while he served as president no longer protects him against this prosecution. So the appeals court here in Washington saying that the former president's sweeping immunity claims are non-existent. We can expect now that this will be appealed to the Supreme Court. So this doesn't end the legal wrangling, but it is one of the things that has held up the timing of that federal case, which is now sort of in scheduling limbo as they waited to hear what was going to be the resolution of these immunity claims. Now the appeals court has ruled, Carl. We expect...
Now, here's a question. Let me ask this question. Is now, since this is the ruling here, since this is the ruling... Does that mean that once a president is out of the executive office, that they have no shield whatsoever, that it's the wild, wild west, anybody that can achieve them, reach them, can hold them into contempt for their crimes, war crimes, dare I say? I mean, people like George W. Bush and the genocide that was committed in Iraq and those war crimes. Because that's the takeaway from my just intelligence that I'm getting from this. Let's go back to this little nerd who's telling us like it is here.
At some point, it will go to the Supreme Court ultimately to decide on whether the former president of the United States has sort of sweeping immunity from the law that he has asserted. That is the...
You know, by the way, I always liked him in Frasier. He was the brother, right? Just making sure.
...crux of the matter, and it'll be something that the conservative Supreme Court now will be expected to face. Back over to you.
Eamon, they've also got the potential to rule on whether he's eligible to be on the ballot in a couple of states that have said perhaps that he's not. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and we're expecting potential rulings on that later this week. So the Supreme Court, you know, with members appointed by the former president, Donald Trump, now really wrestling with his fate as a political figure here in the United States, whether he has access to the ballot, whether he has the
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Niles. We get the picture, you little pocket protector, you. Do we see, the fix is in, and they're going to say, okay, yeah, what are you going to do about it? It's always, what are you going to do about it? My entire life is, what are you going to do about it? Well, now we're all part of the what are you going to do about it category, which brings us to Carrie Lake. And what is she going to do about it? What is she going to do about it? As she seems to be in a little peephole there as we try to figure out what the deal is here. Well, now Carrie Lake... this coming out of the Washington Compost, the CIA's favorite little dinner table discussion of a magazine. Well, now they're saying that Carrie Lake's leaked recording is causing trust issues in the Arizona GOP. And I guarantee you it's way beyond just the little leakage from Carrie Lake's little tape recorder that is causing trust issues, you little dimwit. Continuing here back to the Washington Compost. Well, now Carrie Lake speaks to recently has spoken to a Republican Party faithfuls. She was always accustomed to cheers and adulation, and aren't we all? But as the Arizona Senate candidate addressed the hundreds of the state GOP's most loyal activists late last month, she was booed so loudly that the sound carried through a carnivorous mega church auditorium. Really? We almost have to hear that next, which we will. Well, continuing here, and by the way, this is the problem. It's doing the right thing and going against the so-called sporting event of the GOP versus the DNC. They can shove it up their little leakage of a recorder called the GOP because she did the right thing. But anyways, continuing. Well, it's an indication, they say, of mistrust that's developed within the Arizona GOP after Lake and her allies appear to have turned favorite hardball tactics, taping conversations and then leaking them to the public against one's own parties. And we can't have that. That's against our PTA, you know, rules and regulations, terms and services. You know, that will give you a death pact with Netanyahu right away. Well, now they're saying that the booing followed by days of the release of the secret recording, and it's not going to end with Mr. Jeff DeWitt, who sounds like Dimwit, then state party chair. Yes, we remember the recording. Now, during their discussion, DeWitt, if you recall, said that the important people did not want Lake to run for Senate and wondered if she would think about going somewhere else instead on a corporate payroll. Well, Lake told him that she would not be bought and sold and publicly cast the offer as evidence of, bribery. See? And there you have it. So this seems to be the case now. Let's check this out here, because I tend to not believe it, but if Washington Compo says otherwise, here is just a little taste of, I guess, the new GOP untrustful just delegates now who are very upset. And that's just too bad. I'm going to lose sleep over this. Well, here it is. Carrie Lake, tell us how it is. We're there for you. I got a shoulder, and here's my phone number, too. Check it out.
Good to see you guys this morning. This gives me a lot of hope. I've been all over this country. Hey, hello, I see you waving. I've been all over this country, and I'll tell you, people are watching what's happening in Arizona. We don't agree on everything. But one thing we do agree on is the elections in Arizona are a corrupt mess. Can we agree that our elections are a mess in Arizona?
You devil!
No? Okay, yes, you devil! And I know that more than anybody. Yeah. And President Trump knows that more than everybody. This election is...
Boo! She's against bribery. What's her problem? Take her down. Where's Karl Rove when you need him? You see, these are the dimwits within. The Dimwits Within, which is a new book I'm going to be working on after tonight. Yes, it is. Anyways, continuing here, in just a sad state of affairs where, you know, being against bribery is a bad thing, isn't it? Anyways, well, that leads us to this now. We're now going to get to Michelle Obama, who I've often wondered if, what if Michelle, you know, just my little late night thoughts by myself, what if Michelle really is a woman? Not a man after all. What kind of apology are we going to have to owe her? I've always wondered that. In the world of chess, you always have to think of the opposition. Anyways, that aside, well, that brings us to this. Yes, Michelle Obama, front runner? Question mark. Well, we know Jim might have a thing or two once he arrives, but this is coming from an Australian perspective, and I thought you might want to hear it here in a second, but let me tell you about it first. As now, Michelle Obama would probably beat Trump in a landslide if she ran for president today, according to Sky News over there in Australia. Yes, because they're right on the money. They're never wrong. And they never mapped a miracle jab they didn't like. Well, Sky News contributor Kristen Taint says Michelle Obama would, quote, probably beat Trump in a landslide if she ran for president today. Yeah, I mean, that would be, you know, just one brutal beating, they're saying. Now, reports came out in January suggesting that Barack Obama's pretend wife may run to the top job instead of Joe Biden, who's dead. Quote, she's very dangerous for Republicans, Ms. Taint told us. And also told Mr. Chris Kenny, in case you needed that information. Well, now Republicans should be extremely worried and shaking in their booties about Michelle Obama's potential nomination. Yes, yes, moderate voters who say that they're unhappy with Joe Biden. You have to be moderate to really understand that. And how the country's going, say they would vote for Michelle Obama in a heartbeat. Yeah. Dot, dot, because that's a man I can trust. You see, that's all it takes here. That's all it takes. In case you don't know, I'm going to show you this little clip of this little op-ed here, but here is, you know, she was in obscurity, this person here. We couldn't find any clippings of Michelle Obama for quite some time, and until recently, which I'm going to show you a clip of, and then last night, apparently, Michelle Obama won a Grammy again, they say. I don't know why these things happen, but here, check this out, just to refresh your memory of Michelle Obama coming back in the spotlight.
All over them. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, where are people, where are
we in this?
You know, where are our hearts? What's going to happen in this next
election? I am terrified about what could possibly happen.
Because our leaders matter. Who we select, who speaks for us, who holds the bully pulpit. It affects us in ways that sometimes I think people take
for granted.
U.S. commentator Kristen Taint.
Yeah, you're right. It's becoming an increasing, seemingly an increasingly likely chance that Michelle Obama could potentially replace Joe Biden. This is something that not just politicos are talking about, but everyday Americans. I hear my neighbors and friends and family talking about this all the time. And it's because, Chris, the Democrats have an incredibly weak bench. Think about it. If they need to get rid of Joe Biden and replace him, who are they going to replace him with? Everyone's been talking about Gavin Newsom for the past couple of years, but Newsom really embarrassed himself recently in a Fox News debate against Ron DeSantis. He performed horribly. Meanwhile, his state of California is in shambles. People are fleeing it at record rates. So he might not work. You have Kamala Harris, who is just so unlikable. She was a dud in the Democratic primary. She doesn't poll well with women or Black voters. I mean, everybody just dislikes her. So who are they going to replace Biden with? Michelle Obama would be the perfect choice. She's incredibly likable. 60% of Americans see her favorably. She is not seen as particularly polarizing. She has a kind of warm, inviting personality, and she's a woman, and she would bring out that woman vote, especially among college-educated.
Thank you, Kristen. Tate, I actually know her. I screwed up her name. So, yeah, thank you, Kristen. Good to see you doing good. But yeah, Kamala Harris is not very well liked. I mean, I guess I might be the only one that tolerates. But to speak about the phenomenon as of Michelle Obama and he or she in her rise to power here as a frontrunner is our very own political analyst all the way from Wisconsin, the one and the only Jim Fetzer. Jim, what a frontrunner to be here.
But she has no competence. I mean, yeah, they may say she's, well, we like her. She's a woman. But that's the way it is in Democrat politics. If you're Black and a woman, then they elevate you to the highest position regardless of your competence. And I guarantee you, Dean, if she becomes a nominee in either position, president or vice, the fact that she is a package most women do not have, the fact that she's, from a sexual point of view, a freak, with a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill, that's going to become a major issue of the campaign, Scott. Mark my words.
Yes, it is, Jim. I mean, she is like any other candidate that we've seen before. But, you know, Jim, just to from a PR perspective, and I want to share a video that you sent me just hours ago, last night to be exact, but before we get to that, I mean, you know, you saw the media over the course of time when Obama was in office, they treated her like Jackie O. What's her name? Melania never even got that treatment. But were they kind of grooming the American people to accept a future with Michelle Obama as a potential frontrunner or president?
Oh, I think so. And yet she has a broader back, more musculature than Mike Tyson, one of the most powerful heavyweights of all time. Sitting beside Michael Bloomberg, you have little Mike and big Mike, who used to play football at Oregon State, was pretty good with her number of tackles until she assumed a female persona when she moved to Princeton and changed her name to Michelle Robinson. And by the way, she registered to vote as a man until Barack decided he was going to run for president.
Wow. I mean, Jim, do we think this is going to come out into the play as a real serious issue with Michelle Obama? The fact that she was, you know, has a secret past? I mean,
100%. 100%. How could you, if you're running against Michelle, not make it an issue? Now, they'll do it covertly. It'll be by other agents. But I mean, I have been pounding on this for years now, for years. Dean, I've done the research. I've done the homework. I put it out there. And you ought to play that little ditty because that's going to become like the campaign song for the Republicans if Michelle is a Democrat nominee.
Yes, I do. Here's what Jim's talking about. This is a little ditty, as you would see, that kind of gives us a more inclination of just exactly who Michelle Obama is, was, or plans on being once again, provided by Jim Fetzer here to check it out.
Men and women of the finest military in the world. Michael and I.
Does anything scare him?
You know, well,
When Michelle's man.
Michelle Obama is a man. Oh yeah. Her real name is Michael. She's a trans. Oh yeah. I would have thought you noticed the dick in her pants. Oh yeah. Obama's really a homo, his wife is a man. Oh yeah. They had the country fooled with it, they really had us fooled. They had the whole world fooled with it, yeah they had us all fooled. Michelle Obama is a man. Oh yeah. Her real name is Michael, she's a trans. Oh yeah. I would have thought you noticed the dick in her pants. Oh yeah. Obama's really a homo, his wife is a man. Oh yeah. They had the country fooled with it.
Wow. Well, coming in at number three here on the billboards, that is Michelle Obama is a Man, a wonderful national anthem. Jim, what a little ditty you discovered there. Has a good beat.
Wonderful. It's wonderful. It's going to skyrocket to number one should she become a candidate.
Yes, it could. It could possibly be. I believe it's on vinyl right now, too. You know, that's incredible. But, you know, I want to get your quick take on this in talking about the election coming up. We're now seeing that the Court of Appeals has denied Donald Trump from appealing all of this prosecution. They're saying that his actions as president are not going to fall upon deaf ears. They're going to continue to prosecute him. Is that going to prevent him being on the ballot this coming November? It's getting really serious.
No, it's not. Not only that, but that was a court of appeals. Supreme Court's going to overrule it. I mean, he had the legal obligation, his duty as president of the United States to ensure the laws are faithfully executed, including those about our election and their integrity. He was acting to ensure their integrity. The Supreme Court's going to give him a clean bill of health. Mark my words. The Court of Appeals very often is overridden by the Supreme Court. And, you know, unless we have the extortion that we had here with the Texas border, where Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett, you know, because they have these issues with their children, they have adoptions that were questionable. It appears they're being blackmailed to support the Democrat agenda. Unless that happens, I think he's going to be clear because he was acting in the performance of his duties.
Yes, that seems to be the argument coming from the defense. You know, and also, too, just to get your take on this, you know, I just showed this Carrie Lake debacle in Arizona. They're trying to paint it out as, well, can she be trusted? And they showed a little clip that could have been doctored. It's anyone's guess that Carrie Lake is now having issues. She's getting booed. And Jim, I don't know about you, but I thought denying and exposing bribery within your own party was a good thing. But I guess it's not.
Of course. I'm not familiar with the details of this. And if you want to play the clip again, if it wouldn't be an imposition on our audience, I'd be glad to comment because I'm unaware of exactly what the deal is.
Right. So right here, they're now saying that there are major issues that her own party's going against her. And it really goes to show as a microcosm that if you don't go along with party politics, even if in the realm of bribes, that you're going to be told to sit on the bench and people are going to turn against you.
I'll tell you right now, this is happening because they're worried Trump might pick her to run as his vice presidential candidate. And they just think that would be such a powerful combination. Tucker, by the way, just interviewed Vladimir Putin. In fact, I was delayed because I was on a show that's been put back an hour that I've been on with Scott Bennett a long time, a Global Great Awakening. And we went through the interview. We have the transcript of the interview. And
did you watch the whole interview? The whole interview.
I just went through it this past hour, Dean. Okay. And it was excellent. Excellent.
You know what? I want to show that interview. I want to show that interview right here tonight. I think we should all watch it. Don't you think so, Jim?
Well, you know, no, it's a written transcript, Dean.
Oh, you got me all excited, Jim. Go ahead.
You can add it, but I think the video interview would probably be out tomorrow. What they had so far was just a written transcript.
Okay. And that makes sense. So you know what it is, Jim? When it comes out tomorrow on video, why don't you and I, we watch it and we'll make a whole spectacle of it if that's viable tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that. Kind of in closing, Jim, I know it's a late night for you, but, are we certain now of who the contenders going into November are? Because, you know, we see the mass violence of the migrant offensive on the rise that might even make the polls very difficult. We see a Manchurian candidate, hence the Manchurian candidate with Michelle Obama lurking. Are we certain, A, there's going to be an election, and B, are we certain it's going to be just Biden versus Trump at this point, Jim Fetzer?
Well, I think we're certain it's not going to be Biden and Trump. And you know, assuming we have an election and there's some speculation, the border crisis might be manufactured to induce a civil war so that martial law could be declared. Under martial law, they could postpone the election, not conduct the election. Assuming there is an election, I guarantee you, Joe Biden is not going to be on the ticket. He'll step down between Super Tuesday and the Democrat convention in Chicago. The party rules allow them to appoint anyone they want. I do not think it will be Kamala, just as you heard from the report when I came in. I do think it's most likely to be Gavin Newsom and Michelle. But just realize, what you're talking about, this popularity, Michelle, she doesn't have any competence. Sleeping with a president does make you qualified to be president. I mean, how absurd is that? Especially when it's a gay couple. This is strange. This could only happen in America, Dean.
Only in America, an American made. Jim Fetzer, thank you for being here last minute, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow for a huge spectacle of an interview. I've been waiting for this.
Great idea, Dean.
Okay, there you have it. All right, Jim Fetzer, everybody. Okay, continuing on here as... Oh, man, I'm still Dean Ryan cruising with you to midnight and beyond as we now continue into the Real Deal International. Real Deal International. And how about that movie to our members, Jim's pick, No Way Out? That was actually very good. A lot of plot twist to that one. They don't make movies like that anymore. Anyways, now continuing here, Real Deal International, as we now go and peer into the secret, mysterious world of the Sausage King of London himself. Yes, I'm talking about Charles, and I'm going to tell you more about it here. Yes, this gentleman right here, the Sausage King of London, is in question. As we told you weeks ago with our whistleblower, Forseti, we've been on the money in regards of UK politics since 2020. We told you who was going to be the next prime minister after Boris, a very little known person named I can't even remember. It's just so insignificant. Richie Kovac, I believe that's his name. In fact, I'm sure someone will tell me. Richie Sambora, what a great guitarist he is. Just that's filling my and flooding my head. But anyways, continuing here. Well, we told you, Richie Sunak. Thank you. It's that voice in my head that was screaming, Richie Sunak. Yeah, Richie Sunak. Anyways, but back to the Carlos King. Here's the deal here, is what we found out, what we shared with you with our whistleblower Forseti, is that he was being interviewed by Scotland Yard, by the powers that be, he being Charles, which then he attempted what they called suicide. We believe that he succeeded in that. Then we told you, you're going to start seeing, oh, he has cancer, come out into the media. And look where we are right now. Look where we are right now. That's exactly what it is. Now, I have something I'm putting together on the so-called Disease X now that is going to be a continuation of where I'm getting into here. But let me tell you about the propaganda first, if we could, as we now go into, yes, everything UK. Now, here it is. This is coming out of the UK as the Charles III, the cancer diagnosis, could reshape how the monarchy works. I mean, it could. We don't know. He might survive it. Probably not, although he's dead. I'm not laughing, but I am inside. Well, Queen Elizabeth II liked to say that she needed to be seen to be believed. It used to be an old quote from the old battle axe herself. Well, now it falls and fails that her son, the so-called King Charles III, King Carlos, to test that principle after a so-called cancer diagnosis that will force him out of the public eye for the foreseeable future. Ta-da! Like clockwork, we knew and saw this coming from a mile away. And, you know, just to be honest, I try to share this with other established organizations out there. Nobody would see it. Nobody would want to believe me because I don't know, or we don't know what we're talking about. You'll see that if you're new around here. We are the redheaded stepchildren of anything media. That's just what it is. Well, now, for a family who has been cultivated in its public image through thousands of appearances, the ribbon cuttings, the ship launchings, the gala benefits, the investiture ceremonies, and the spitting on the commoners and the peons and all the rest of the pedestrians, the peanut gallery, the sidelining of Charles may finally force the royals to rethink just how they project themselves in the social media age. Well, about time. I've been wondering when the Windsor German tourist family over there in London were going to rethink of how to project themselves. And finally, it forced them to do it. See, this is democracy working. Anyways, now the king's illness is the latest blow over there at the British royal family, which has seen its ranks depleted by the death of Queen Elizabeth herself, the little druid, little gnome, who's now 6 feet under, and her little husband, Prince Philip, who had little dreams of becoming a mosquito in his afterlife to infect us all with what? Probably the infections that we now foresee. Well, now Charles, who's a whopping 75 years old, and he doesn't look a day older, doesn't he? He just looks so great for a decrepit vampire. Well, he took part in a 425 royal engagements in 2023, a little more than we thought, was his first full year of the throne, according to the account by the Daily Telegraph, that made him the second hardest working royal after his younger sister, Princess Anne, who did a whopping 457. Well, that's money well spent, isn't it, everybody? Your death tax? No, it won't go to you. It'll go to the hardworking Elizabeth Anne or Princess Elizabeth, and also King Carlos. So that's how that one is. But let me just get down to brass tacks. Forget all the minutiae here. Here is the deal here. I'm going to release a name and a list of cities that are going to be tested upon for Disease X. Let me just put this down here. Is I'm compiling it all together because recently there was a chemical attack over there in London, which is the word we're getting is setting the precedent for a lockdown 2.0 to come. And when that comes, which I'm predicting close to the election, just like we saw it coming in 2020 and the day after January 5th in 2021, when that comes, that means that somebody's getting back into the White House and they're going to do a lockdown 2.0 in the run-up to the election, which then will force the blue states in the U.S. to do the same and cancel their elections due to fear of the so-called Disease X. So this is coming. And I have a list of the cities in England that are going to be targeted for this so-called Disease X. It's a real thing. And London is very much at play. So is Liverpool, and so is Edinburgh, and many other places throughout the UK. And we better be paying attention, even if you don't live in the UK, because this is where it all starts. And then it spreads around. Because during the Boris Johnson tenure over there as prime minister, in the event Trump didn't step down by January 7th, not only were there dirty bombs on the East Coast of the United States going to just completely engulf the entire East Coast of the U.S., you had the U.K. and many other places throughout Europe that were going to do a perpetual lockdown until further notice. And they're prepared to do the same here because they're losing the grip of the narrative for the Great Reset once again. So that's where we are there. Continuing now. Continuing, let me go to another demonic goblin, and that's, yes, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, yeah, he doesn't hide his horns well, does he? Well, this is something of just a little tidbit of, you know, a lot of people say the two-state solution. Yeah, the two-state solution, which is the safe word for anyone who is dressed as a, well, I guess a nurse, but it's really the IDF who's there to greet you with death. Well, now Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he has informed the U.S. that he opposes now the establishment of a Palestinian state as part of any post-war scenario. Well, what a surprise, because when Donald Trump tried to get that going with him, he didn't want any part of it. No, no, no. He threw his little stink face and his resting you-know-what face all upon any chance or echoes of peace. Now, here we are once again. Now, the announcement on Thursday, just this recent Thursday, exposes deep divisions and fissures between the allies more than 3 months into this Israeli war against Gaza's Hamas rulers. Many have called it. The U.S. has called on Israel to scale back its offensive, says the establishment of a Palestine and a Palestinian state should be part of the, quote, day after. Isn't that something? So you have the U.S. on one hand saying, stop it, please, no more. On the other hand, they're funding the allowance of this to occur and continue to occur. Because what we'll find out is it's just one big military base, isn't it, Israel, at this point, like Hawaii in a sense? That's how we see it. Well, here's something very interesting. Speaking of Netanyahu and everything unholy, well, Oliver Stone, who is one of the greatest icons in cinema history, I've had the pleasure to just almost complete the quintessential 9/11 film, but that's a long story. But I want to read this to you because this is very important. He's recently come out and given his word and thoughts on Netanyahu, who in Israel altogether. And last time Oliver Stone did this, it was during the 2020 election. He was on Stephen Colbert, if my memory serves correctly. And he said, quote, it's not Russia I'm worried about meddling into our politics. He said, it's Israel. And they cut that from CBS, and you can't find that clip anywhere. Continuing here, let me read this to you. Well, here's a quote, and it might make a lot of sense. It's in the key of B, keep up with the changes. Here we go. Well, he said, Oliver Stone says the following, that Netanyahu is a madman. Well, we all kind of know that. And that's the title of this little, wonderful little haiku poem. Netanyahu is a madman. And I repeat that. To me, he's a madman. I met him many, many years ago. I interviewed him when he was out of office. I thought he was a madman. And then it got worse and worse and worse. He's truly insane. Really, tell us more, please. Well, he said, I've never seen such slaughter being justified as revenge before, Oliver Stone quoted. How do you wipe out a political movement? It's never been done in the history of the world. How are you going to kill off everybody? What do you do? Separate them? Send them to Egypt? It's just mad. The whole situation, the whole solution. And what was sickening to me was when Biden went over there, hat in hand and money in hand, to give him what he wanted. This is the problem with our country. In that regard, I think Trump, although he supported Israel to a max and made quite a few mistakes in that regard, has better choices to make. We can't do this. We can't constantly support Israel. We have to say no. Cut them off. Cut off everything to them right now. That's what I would do. Don't give me this anti-Semitic shit. I mean, I don't even know what they're talking about. Who are the anti-Semites in the world? Just a few nutcases. Nobody's an anti-Semite unless they have a problem with Hitler and all that. But this is an issue about justice, peace, balance, and basic human decency. Yes, it is. Wonderful quote from Oliver Stone. I wanted to share that with all of you. Incredible. Incredible. What a night this has turned out to be. Full of surprises, isn't it? Just besides myself. Anyways, as we round the bases to slide into home, that brings us to Real Deal Health. Well, there I am on break. Yes, I am. That's General Hospital. Don't I know it? Well, that brings us to this. This is the new policies now with your health insurance. Yeah, health insurance that, you know, you have. If you're in California, you only get two choices of health insurance: extremely expensive, moderate, or you're on the, I believe, the government health insurance. It's very complicated, but it doesn't need to be. Well, now major health insurance companies are now altering policies to exclude coverage from injuries or sickness during, wait for it, war, riot, or insurrection. That's true. Unbelievable, but that's where we are. Well, now, quietly, without any fanfare, several of the nation's largest health insurance providers are changing their policies for 2024 to exclude the treatment coverage for injuries and illness stemming from war, declared or undeclared, riot or insurrection, as if they know something really, really bad is coming this year. Also worth noting, as I shared with you months ago, Home Insurance California, it are no longer providing insurance for new homeowners in California. What do they know that's going to happen? Natural disaster, which, by the way, I have to cover. I will cover tomorrow what took place in Chile over the weekend. Yeah, it's same as Acapulco, just dawned on me. Continuing here, recognizing that the country is on the brink of what appears to be a major financial collapse, health insurance carriers are readying to the helm not to provide payouts for claims linked to a host of potential calamities that many believe could stem from a social and or economic meltdown. Well, that's something else, isn't it? That is something else. Well, a lot of people who are just tweeting about this are saying things such as the following, that we all need to check our insurance policies. Who works in the insurance industry in California? This is from an insider, that is. He said, quote, I have had my insurance license in the state of California for over a decade now. And when I was reviewing policies for the 2024 seasonal brackets coming away, I noticed this new exclusion. Well, here's what it is, to be exact. Quote, this is under exclusions and expenses not covered on a 2024 Cigna health policy. Treatment of an injury or sickness which is due to war, declared or undeclared, riot or insurrection. He goes on to say that this is not typical. This is an insurance policy from United last year, 2023. And the language typically reads like this: what happens with my coverage under extraordinary circumstances? Wow. I can't believe it. Here's a little of this person I'm talking about. Here's what she's talking about, as this is coming from Natural News. And this is a serious deal. A lot of people who are very much reliant on their health insurance are going to face a new destiny as they try to change the red line and the policies as we go. Check this out, as we have someone who is experiencing this in real time. Here it is.
Check your insurance policies. Listen to this.
This is something that made me go, As you may know, I have had my insurance license in the state of California for over a decade. And when I was reviewing policies for 2024, I noticed this new exclusion. Look here, this is under exclusions and expenses not covered on a 2024 Cigna health policy. Treatment of an injury or a sickness which is due to war, declared or undeclared, riot or insurrection. This is not typical. This is an insurance policy from United last year for 2023. And the language typically reads like this: what happens with my coverage under extraordinary circumstances? And it says in cases.
Well, thank you. There's a little tidbit of what to expect in these new little underlinings from all these new policies, terms and services that are just coming at us in a time of war. How dare they, actually? Well, that now brings us to one of our most, well, controversial categories and segments. That's Woe Man. Yes, Woe Man. Not many fans of Woe Mans out there, but especially parents of students who are in athletics, particularly girls. That's right. Well, now I unfortunately have to report to you that outrage is now filling a community once again as five transgender students dominate the volleyball court at a women's college varsity game, as biological females are now kicked down to the bench. I mean, how dare they say you can't have steroids in baseball, but you can have guys in women's sports? Where are we here? This is just unbelievable. Well, this is a shocking moment, as many have now coined it, as now five transgender players have now hijacked women's college volleyball game over there in, Canada. Canada, they have enough problems. Well, now they got five more. Well, footage that I'll show you here in a minute showed that the five athletes dominated a women's volleyball match between Seneca College and Continental College over there in Toronto. The biologically male athletes, who were very womans, were seen smashing the ball past their female teammates. You know, you got to see it to believe it, because, I mean, good Lord, these are some of the ugly. They dominated, but they're also dominating the eyesores in life. Check this out here. You have to see it to believe it, because they're killing the futures of many, many just female athletes out there once again. Check this out, as the migrant offensive is also, I guess, the transgender athletic offensive as well. Check this out here. This is a sight to see, and some very poor judgment on behalf of anyone who allowed this to happen.
Oh, wow.
Answer my question.
Did we trigger you?
Sir, why are you playing with the woman? Why are you taking away a real woman's spot? I'm just
You're
asking
not
questions.
You're not allowed over here.
Who are you, ma'am?
You're not allowed over here.
Why? Hey, don't touch me. Why are you allowing men to play with biological females? Sir, why are you taking away a spot from a real woman? Hey, excuse me. Don't touch me, sir. Don't touch me.
What's wrong with you?
Why are men playing with women? We saw it with our own eyes, and now they're changing this. Hey, coach, why are you playing male players? Why are you playing male players?
I'm not.
Biological males. Why are you doing that? What happened to chivalry?
It's not that.
Am I?
Why am I
being transphobic? Why?
Shut up.
What?
Oh, wow.
Answer my question.
Did we trigger you?
I hope you can go rot in hell, you f***ing white.
Oh, did we trigger you?
Okay. You have a
f***ing Sir, are you suffering from mental illness? I'm sorry,
You have a f***ing vagina? I don't give a f***ing if you have a vagina.
David.
Whew. It's just incredible, isn't it? I mean, them some pissed off trannies, aren't they? Pissed off trannies. Anyways, that's going to lead us down to Real Deal Showbiz. And I'll tell you, we're now, I just learned about this before we came to air tonight. We're now mourning the loss, many country Western fans out there, of Toby Keith. Did you hear about this? I just heard about this. He passed away. I didn't even know he was sick. Well, here's exactly what happened to my knowledge and what we know is where we stand. Toby Keith, the country singer, songwriter, has now died at the rightful age of 62 after a stomach cancer diagnosis. I had no idea. You may recall Toby Keith from the Iraq War era. Yes, I believe he had the song Iraq in Roll and something about sticking a boot somewhere. Anyways, Toby Keith, a hit country crafter, big time, big, very lucrative career of pro-American anthems in the modern era. Well, he's also riled up critics and those who loved, and as he was loved by millions of fans. I'll never forget when he went after the Dixie Chicks, Natalie Maines, who gave everyone the mange, and who's also a demonic devil worshiper, a little known fact. But he was that guy that kind of called them out, if my memory serves correctly. Well, the should have been a cowboy singer-songwriter had succumbed to stomach cancer and died peacefully Monday, surrounded by his family, according to a statement posted on the country singer's website. He fought his fight with grace and courage. Yes, he announced this cancer just in 2022, not that long ago. The 6'4" singer broke out in the country boom years of the 1990s, thankfully to Garth Brooks, who brought pop manufacturing music, manufacturing that is to country music, that is, writing songs that fans love to hear. Over his career, he publicly clashed with other celebrities, as I shared with you, in journalists, and often pushed back against record executives who wanted to smooth his rough edges. And he said no. Here's another. I remember, you know, when I go to Texas, you go to any bar, you're going to hear, "I love this bar." Yeah. Okay. Now I know that song. Yeah. That's a big one. Big one. "I love this bar." And so a lot of hits and duets with Willie Nelson. And too young, too soon to be gone. That's how that one is. Sad to hear and say. Anyways, finally here, as we close the night and paint the night with color, well, that brings us to a segment we haven't done in a long time. That's Real Deal Pets. Now, if you're like me, you know, you might have had a Real Deal Pet in your childhood. And the pain of losing a dog, a cat, a bird, a goldfish, whatever the case may be, is so painful for many of us. And it almost prevents us from wanting to have pets again, who become part of our family, our best friends. And don't I know it? Don't I know it? Well, here's something that might be changing the way you look at your Real Deal Pets, as now science, depending if you trust it or not, has an answer, a solution, a remedy, an alternative fact for all of us to ponder on, as now it's been announced that the first anti-aging pills for dogs enters clinical trials today, tonight. Yes, and that's true. The first anti-aging pills for dogs is now in clinical trials, and researchers hope it will pave the way for lifespan extending drugs for people. See? San Francisco-based veterinarian medicine startup Loyal developed the chewable pill and is waiting for approval from the FDA, the Food and Drug Administrators, for an injectable anti-aging drug for large dogs. Now, the drug is expected to be most successful in larger breeds. So if you have a Chihuahua, a Jack Russell out there, that might be a little difficult for you. Well, which tend to die much younger, the larger dogs, that is, like the Newfoundlands, Beethovens, all those ones, St. Bernards. Well, the pill, which works by altering the metabolic process, which will be tested on over 1,000 dogs over the next 10 years, or excuse me, over 10 years old, that is, and weighing at least 14 pounds. Now, the dogs will be monitored over 4 years, and their lifespan and quality of life compared to those given the placebo will be monitored. Loyal hopes it will extend their lives by at least an extra year. The company also aims to get conditional approval from the FDA by early 2025. It said it's committed to making the treatment affordable for pet owners all over the world. Well, what a thing. So there's the question for you. If you are a pet owner, is that something you would partake in to extend the livelihood of your loved one? Really, it really is a pressing question, isn't it? Let me take a inquiry or two. Here we have Liz Marchand all the way from Australia, who says the following. So anti-aging, but not anti-illness. No way I would let my fur baby suffer at whatever age. Very good. Very good point. Yeah, you know, the chips are giving a lot of the are very lovable pets, I believe, get cancer from that. Seems to be a lot of the echoes I've been hearing. Here's another one. We have Polly, who is a staunch no. Yes, that's very true. And we have Beth Ann saying, yep, stepmother, both cats passed. And then my daughters, I warned not to give them the water or the miracle jabs. Yeah, they're doing all of that. All of that. Let me go to Rumble. We have Amnesty, who said, I got hit by a Jack Russell. Now, Jack Russell, other dogs, that they're like bullet trains, right? My friend had one. Those things are a little bit obnoxious, but don't ask me. Sorry. Hopefully you recovered, Amnesty. We'll keep the light on for you. We have Mouth of the South. Mr. Leo says, I have a big house for big dogs. Yes, he does. No tap water. And then finally, Hammer Time says, my cat over 20 years old and never been to a doctor. Well, that is a miracle cat, if I've ever seen one. I've ever seen one. I'll tell you that much. Anyways, that's going to bring us to final thoughts. Final thoughts here. Can I help you? Some of your final thoughts. Somebody say final thoughts.
I do.
You're here for final thoughts. Yes, I am. Final thoughts in about time, because I was about to take an anti-aging pill myself. And I bet, by the way, I bet there's a lot of humans that would take the anti-aging pill. Just a little side note. Anyways, as we close the night of the migrant offensive episode here, in a very unsuspecting kind of a news headline kind of a week, well, we know it's about to get wound up pretty wild. Because what happens in stealth is that these migrant offenses do happen. And the lawlessness will continue. The outrage by the city government to the state and their calamity that they keep raising into the headlines will continue, but fall upon deaf ears in the courtroom of sincerity. So with that said, is the migrant offensive continues, builds up and begins and is even state sanctioned. Well, the true sovereign, the true patriots, the true citizens, and more importantly, the true individuals, our offensive only begins. And some of that, and a lot of that, is through shows like this, through information, through conversations you have at the dinner table, while in line or waiting for a $10 coffee, wherever it may be. That's where the offensive starts. That's where the brass tacks meets the rubber, that meets the road, that meets our offensive. And that's how true diplomacy, but true war, which is an information war, really works. And it's initiated through, and hopefully it won't have to go kinetic, but at the rate we're going, it's anyone's guess. But anyways, that's just me. And we want peace, but it's dangerous to be for peace in a world filled with calamity, violence, and deep states. That's how we see it. So anyways, there's that one here. Quick note here. Tomorrow, as you heard from the Jim Fetzers himself, we will be monitoring the very big interview with Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin. We're going to see if that will be what time will it be, and if we're going to show that for a world broadcast. I'm thinking, yes, we will. So that's how we'll see. We'll let you know how that goes. Anyways, I'm going to get out of here. For Jim Fetzer, and for all of our wonderful pets, our real deal pets out there, I'm Dean Ryan saying thank you for sharing a bit of your late night here with me and all of us. I will be back tomorrow. And in the meantime, never forget to stay tuned and always stay awake, because this is war. It is war. It's a world at war. Good night, everybody.